our second law of outrageous love was outrageous love is eros. Right? Outrageous love is desire. Right? And evolution feels, and the interior feeling of evolution is desire. Right? Evolution is the interior of evolution is desire. And what we've done is we've reduced evolution to an exterior. Right? That's what we've done. We've reduced evolution to an exterior. It's evolving. But actually, what evolving means is reality is not a fact. It's a story. It's not an ordinary story. It's a story of great desire. Right? So evolution desires. Right? The universe feels. The universe feels desire. That's eros. That's the quality of eros that we talked about. And distinguishing between pseudo-desire and authentic desire, and finding my deepest desire, right, is the movement of a lifetime. Another way to say it is, reality is allurement. Reality is attraction. From electromagnetic attraction, right, which is not a given. But the fact that attraction is the core quality of cosmos is not a given. You could have a cosmos in which things are completely separate and monadic and drift. But it's not that way. Gravity is celestial attraction. So attraction, allurement, desire, love. Right? When we say, that which drives the entire evolutionary process, evolutionary eros, it's love by any other name. Love is the movement towards, precise definition, the movement towards higher and higher levels of mutuality, recognition, union, and embrace. So love is the movement towards higher and higher levels of mutuality, recognition, union, and embrace. So the question we said we would talk about today is, what's fuck got to do with it? Right? That's our question for this morning. What's fuck got to do with it? Right? How does that... So we've got a word love. We've got a word eros, which captures something that love doesn't quite capture. Right? Eros is this cutting quality, right? This quality of desire. Right? Erotic. Right? Doesn't say the same thing as love. Right? Now, when we're making love... Right, making love is actually a good word, because making love is what reality does. It makes, right? Allurement happens between subatomic particles. Right? Allurement happens between quarks and hadrons, right? Emerge, right? In other words, right? It's this process of allurement, which is always emergent. And we offered a new definition of eros that appears in the new book, which eros is the movement, right? The experience of being radically alive, moving towards contact, which engenders creativity. That's what eros is. And eros is radical aliveness that moves towards contact and engenders creativity. And all the faces of the erotic, of which are Lady S, there are more these days, just to say. It's expanding. Right, right. So in the new book, Return to Eros, right, we kind of go the next steps, all the next steps in eros. But eros is the experience of being radically alive, moving towards contact, which engenders creativity. Like, that's eros. But then again, we get back to our question, what's fuck got to do with it? Right? So we got making love, we got eros. Why do we need fuck? Right? What's fuck got to do with it? What's the word? Now, we made a decision, right? It was a big, big decision going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth about whether to include all the material on fuck in the Return to Eros book. And there's a huge kind of argument on many, many levels. And then we decided to take it out simply because it needs its own place, which is why we didn't run it through the weekend. It's for this morning. Right, it needs its own place, and we thought, wow, it's so much to bring the word eros into culture, right? To bring the word eros into culture, and then, you know, to kind of knock fuck in there on the side, which is too complicated, right? And so we're trying to distinguish the words. So there's a book, Outrageous Love, right? Right. There's, you know, eros, then there's another book and play called Sexually Incorrect, which is its world, and then we kind of decided, no, it actually needs its own little book, 50 pages, God is fuck. Right, it's its own world. You can either buy it or not buy it. Right, we don't slip it into eros or slip it into outrageous love. Right, but those can stand by themselves. You can be a good Southern Baptist, you know, reading outrageous love, and you don't have to kind of get fucked. Right, you know, you can kind of like, so it's there. So we kind of wanted to so that if for some reason someone just can't hold it. Right, it's okay. But if you can't hold it, that's that little book. So that's kind of the. You know, every move in the game of knowledge is a move in the game of power, said Foucault. Right? So how do you deploy memes? How do you memetically deploy something? So that's the way we wanted to deploy it, which is why also this weekend I wanted to deploy it separately. It's really the the same intentionality. Now, I would like to do something with you that we've never done before and we will never do again. Okay, something strange. Okay, we're about to do something strange. I don't say we've never done that before. We haven't. We've never done anything strange before. Okay, but this is a little strange in our context. I'd like to read you an academic paper. Right? Even though we're talking about fuck, which is like fuck up and wild, no, we're going to actually hold the form completely differently. I'm actually going to read you a paper. We're going to discuss the paper as we go. Right? The reason I'm reading the paper, right, is because as I kind of was working with it last night, as you can see, I Shelley printed it, and I was kind of writing it as a Dharma, you know, kind of thinking about how to kind of talk about it. I realized that actually it needs form, and I don't want to actually just, right, chat about it, right? Actually, you won't get as much from it if we talk about it. We'll actually get more from it. So I thought about which way to do it. Should I actually read it, you know, we'll talk about it, or should I actually pass it around, right? Those are my two choices. Have us kind of read it together. I decided to read it just for time's sake, so I apologize for that. Right, you guys will have done a better job. But I'm going to do sections, and we're going to chat about it. Right? And to just kind of relax. And again, what's strange is that all of a sudden, right, in wisdom school, on our most kind of like wild topic, we're actually adopting this kind of, you know, classical Oxford form. So we did in Oxford. You would read your paper. Hopefully we'll do it better than they do in the academy, because the topic's much better. Right? And the content is better. Right? But it's exciting. Just kind of relax, deep breath, easy listening, you know, and here we are. The name of this chapter, which was taken out of the book, it'll be its own book, is A Word About the Word Fuck. Right? A Word About the Word Fuck. So, you guys ready to fuck it open? Yeah, fuck you. Okay, here we go. All right? Many readers will intuitively understand in their heart, mind, and body why the word fuck is necessary to capture, and what we're trying to describe when we use the word fuck and talk about Eros. Eros is not fuck, but there's no Eros without fuck. Some people, however, including perhaps some in this room, will be repelled by the word fuck, as was our editor, who begged us to take it out of the book, and in many long letters which she wrote us, which she charged us for. Some of you have had that experience in reading the word fuck in the last chapter. This was originally in that, right? You may have thought, we love this book. Why do they need to use the word fuck? Fuck, you might have said to yourself. The reason is self-evident. When you consider the other different words that might be deployed, language taught the Cherry mystics is the building block of reality. The word sex does not address what we refer to when we talk about fuck. Sex is an expression of fuck. But it's not fuck itself. The word love is beautiful, but it's only half the story. Fuck speaks to a quality that's not captured by love. That's why we need the word fuck. Now, our relationship to the word fuck is ambivalent, because our relationship to fuck is ambivalent. Right? We have a confused relationship both to the energy of fuck and to the word fuck. It's a relationship that's part attraction and allurement, and part disgust and repulsion. The word fuck says something that no other word is able to express. When you stop and consider, you begin to realize that fuck is one of the most fantastic words in the English language. One linguistic provocateur, who we've mentioned in this room before, Chandra Mohan Jain, J-A-I-N, which is my way of not saying Osho, right, even went so far as to say that, quote, after Friedrich Nietzsche declared that God is dead, fuck became the most important word in the English language. He went on to say, to a crowd roaring with laughter, quote, the problem is, if God is dead, then you lose the most important word in your language, and you will need a substitute. Instead of God, fuck has become the most important word in our language. That was Osho's comment. But Osho, when you listen to that clip, doesn't get it. He gets that there's an association, but there's no Dharma in what he says. You're not like, why, what, how, where, right? So it's funny, but it doesn't take you anywhere, right? So now, but I wanted to cite him, but because it's respectful to cite him, but I didn't want to cite Osho, so I used his original name. There we go. Just giving me the moves and the games of knowledge and power. All right, now, new paragraph. Paragraph 5. Okay, ready for paragraph 5? Yeah. Will, you doing good? Mm-hmm. Why do you look so happy? Okay. In some sense, fuck is very much like the word God. Both words are considered unspeakable, other than in the right context. Speaking God's name is a sin for many religions, because it holds an intensity of meaning that's beyond the ordinary. Right? Everyone get that? Moreover, we're not quite sure what the word God means. Indeed, the mystery of meaning around God's name is part of its evocative power. And finally, the word God means different things to many different people in many different contexts. It's even strangely used as a curse, as in, God damn it. What God means to you, finally, is directly dependent, what the word God means to you directly depends on your level of consciousness. Indeed, the God you don't believe in doesn't exist. You get that? You get that, right? Everyone get that? Okay. You begin to see that there's some similarity between God and fuck. Fuck, like God, is not to be spoken in ordinary circumstances. Pronouncing the word is not allowed in many contexts. Moreover, there's great confusion around the meaning of the word, which means many different things to many different people in many different contexts. The range of possible meanings is part of its evocative power. And finally, fuck, like God, is often partly used as a curse. And like God, there's no easy stand-in for the word. Right? Okay. Now, you may notice, those of you who are familiar with some of the writing that we've done over the years, this has a different quality to it. Right? There's almost like a satirical quality. It's like we're laughing, because you can only write it that way. Right? And that's that. This kind of writing never came out of me. It's just, it's funny. Right? So there's kind of like a different quality. It's not a kind of a, it's like, oh, let's just talk about this. So here we go. New section. The two meanings of fuck. The confusion around the word fuck is reflected in its many different, surprising, and often contradictory meanings. A deeper linguistic consideration reveals that fuck is both an incredibly painful, beautiful, and magical word. Fuck has no synonyms. It's irreducible and not easily moved aside by imitators. Fuck evokes pleasure and pain, as well as hate and love. So just to fuck with you a little bit, let's look at some of the meanings of the word fuck. The first usage, just to fuck with you, means to confuse you. This usage can have a playful sense or a more sinister sense. It might show up as, I was just fucking with you, as in, I was just playing with you. Or it might be deployed as, I'm going to fuck with you, as in, I'm going to penetrate the apparently well-defended boundaries of your world and turn everything upside down. I'm going to fuck with you. I'm going to fuck you up would be another expression of the aggressive quality of fuck. In this sense, fuck is a verb. Fuck is a verb. Fuck here implies, and this is important, an intensity of action which intrudes on the ordinary sense of reality in an either playful or violent manner. Okay, that sentence took me about a week, okay? It's a great sentence. Fuck here implies an intensity of action which intrudes on the ordinary sense of reality in either a playful or violent manner. In broad brushstrokes, right, we might say there are two general senses of the word fuck. And this was the big crack open in this that I never got before, even in previous years when we talked about it here. There's two general senses of the word fuck. One sense is about moving towards, making contact, being open, alive, and awake. This first sense of fuck expresses intimacy, wonder, and allurement. The second sense is about moving away from, disconnection, and breaking contact. The second sense of fuck can express rage, aggression, and alienation. Now, often a particular use of the word fuck will have both senses in it. Which one is intended depends on context or tone. One sense of fuck is the ultimate question, as in, what the fuck? In this sense, fuck expresses the inherent unknowing in reality. This could be said with a positive sense of wonder and awe. What the fuck? Or with a desperate quality of confusion and terror. What the fuck? Fuck holds both. In this sense, what the fuck is similar to the phrase, God knows. Right? As in, God knows, but we certainly don't. Notice again that fuck and God live in an overlapping field of meaning. Fuck might also, Sean, indicate a very sharp expression of questioning, as in, what the fuck is going on here? history with the phrase, fucked if I know, right? I said, fucked if I know. Another sense of fuck is radical amazement. That was fucking awesome. And this sense of fuck is used to connote the intensification of experience. It's a big sense. Fuck is the intensification of experience. In other words, fuck is an intensifier, right? You might also say, on the negative side of things, she is fucking awful. I mean, she's not just awful, right? Awful didn't quite get it. She's fucking awful. Or, right, he's a fucking asshole, right? Right? Or, right, as Shelley would say, halla-fucking-luja, right? Wow, right? A fucking asshole is a more intense form of asshole than an ordinary asshole. Or in the more positive sense, right? He's a fucking saint. Again, a fucking saint is significantly more saintly than a regular run-of-the-mill saint. But in both cases, fuck is an intensifier, evoking a heightened experience or expression of reality. Now, another expression of the good sense of fuck, that which expressed contact and connection, is a particularly potent way of saying hello. Hello, in its ideal form, is the creation of connection between conscious beings. In many languages, the word hello is the name of God. For example, shalom, as in Shalom Mountain. Shalom in the Hebrew means both hello and God's name. Famously, the Sanskrit form of hello, namaste, means I bow to the God in you. In this context, it's in this context that we understand the intensified contact made through the greeting, as in, how the fuck are you? Right? How the fuck are you? Right? You begin to get what we mean by the magic of fuck. We're having a fucking great time writing this paragraph of the book, indicating an extreme level of intensified pleasure. But fuck might also indicate displeasure or even rage, which moves towards disconnection. That might show up as, why the fuck are you including a chapter on the meaning of fuck at this point in the book? Right? Fuck's an expression of displeasure when the universal laws of connection civility seem to have been violated. Fuck is also, Jeff, an expression of delight, as in, that was fucking beautiful. That was fucking great. Fuck can also express, Nance, an almost religious, I thought religious, I know, it's good for you, almost religious sense of approval, awe, or amazement in the face of the surprise of revelation. That might show up in the classic phrase, holy fuck, holy fuck, or as, holy fuck, you are awesome, right? Or in case you wanted to underscore the point, you could double on the word fuck as in, holy fuck, you are fucking awesome, right? To get a point. All of these express different dimensions of the radical aliveness and movement towards contact, which are fundamental to the experience of Eros. Now, on the other side of the street, I'm sorry about this, there are a host of meanings of fuck that express the sense of things gone wrong, right? Fuck in this sense expresses disconnection, alienation, and even degradation. And now a new sense moves in, because we haven't gotten to degradation until here. Notice that? Mm-hmm. Even degradation. So, I failed in my relationship might be, I fucked up my marriage, right? I was hurt or taken advantage of might be, I got fucked over. Or, I got totally fucked by the company. Right? This indicates a sense of having been exploited or objectified. Fuck here expresses not connection, but disconnection. Fuck might also indicate a sense of unrelenting and even brutal demand. Just fucking jump before I fucking kick you in the balls. Right? Different sense. The quality of this expression. Have you ever used that before, Guy? The quality of this expression.
Only once.
Only once. I got it. We'll tell us about that later in the next mat trip. The quality of this expression depends on context. This might stem from a hidden love, as in the tough coach, or a brutal alienation, as in the corrupt prison guard. Right? You get the difference? And fuck, context is everything. Right? Fuck might also indicate a sense of exasperation as in, ah, fuck, how long is this paper? Right? Or a demand that someone sever contact immediately, as in, get the fuck out of here. Alternatively, fuck might be an expression of extreme hostility. I'm going to knock your fucking head off. Or apathy, as a form of disconnection, as in, who gives a fuck? Fuck might also express a sense of things gone terribly gone wrong, as in, this is really fucked. Another deployment of fuck is used to intensify the sense of disconnection. This is an unusual sense, as it involves lineage, patrimony, and matrimony. For example, this motherfucker was so fucking weird that I think he was fucking insane. Back to the positive side of things for a second, right? Motherfucker can indicate someone who is a badass. Sexy motherfucker, as in Prince's phrase. Right? Wildly gifted or competent. Or even, or on the even more dramatic rupturing side of fuck, right, are the words of the popular t-shirt which says, fuck you, you fucking fuck. The repentant deployment of fuck indicates in this context an extreme loss of contact. Fuck as alienation. Fuck you, you fucking fuck. The other person is no longer human. They're literally alien to you. The sense of fuck as expressing a breaking of connection appears in many modes. I don't give a fuck indicates that no empathy or love left for this person or situation. You stupid fuck. It's an extreme form of separating contact from the humanity of another person. Don't fuck with me means don't engage with me, as instead of my face, or I'm gonna fuck you up. This is really fuck means this is not how things should be in a good universe which operates according to the rules. What the fuck are you doing reveals a complete lack of alignment with the actions or motives of another. End of the section. You got a sense? Okay. And it's very nuanced, right? And you see there's really two completely different meanings of fuck, right? Different universes. Why is that? Right? And that's shocking, right? So let's keep going. New section is entitled, how are we all doing here? Everyone good? We have a drum roll in the room? Drum roll in the room? We got fucking drum roll? Okay, you motherfuckers. Let's fuck it open. Okay. And our new topic is, right? You get that? Is that good? Double? Got it. Boom. Boom. Fuck it open, woman. Okay. Okay, there we go. Fucking sex, colon. Okay. All of these meanings of fuck, however, need to be understood. Right? Notice, now here's the key. Nothing we set up till now, if you get this, it's kind of shocking, had anything to do with sex. Does everyone get that? Mm-hmm. None of these meanings of fuck that we used up to now, this entire essay, had nothing to do with sex. I mean, that was the realization that hit me in the middle of the night, right? As you know, we're working on this, like, oh, the sexual issue is a subset of the larger issue of fuck. You get it? Because actually we're going to come to realize is that actually it's our ambivalence around the sexual, right, which we pour into the word fuck. But actually the word fuck itself, there's a larger erotic issue. Am I moving towards or am I moving against? And I can actually write an entire essay about fuck and never get to its sexual connotation. So when I get to its sexual connotation, right, the sexual connotation, of course, is also going to have two sides. That's going to be a subset of the root dharma, which is eros moving towards contact or moving to severed contact. And it's a little shocking to realize that we've just talked about all these meanings of fuck and not talked about sex at all. Right? It's like, wow. So now the new section is fuck and sex. All these meanings of fuck, however, need to be understood in light of fuck's most common meaning, which is, of course, sex. Now in the sexual sense, let's just kind of get into it a little bit, fuck can be a verb. Mary is fucking John. Can also be an intransitive verb, right? Mary was fucked by John, but you're into grammar, okay? Or as a noun, John is a great fuck. But at the core of things, right, fuck expresses a dimension of the sexual experience that's not captured by the many meanings of love, okay? Which is why we have the word, obviously, right? That's why the word exists. Fuck contains within it an inexorable urgency which is far bigger than the personal. Get that sense? Right? Fuck contains within it an inexorable urgency which is far bigger than the personal. This is the sense of fuck me now. Or as often said, without the temporal qualifier, right, fuck me. Now being the temporal qualifier. Sometimes the ecstasy of the sexual leaves out even the word me. You've got to go from fuck me now to fuck me to fuck. And fuck by itself becomes the central mantra, right, of the sexual. The quality of the word, however, expresses not merely a preference or even a desire. Fuck speaks a primal, radical and irreducible need. It's a need which is prior to all language and culture. It cannot be denied. But it's a demand which on the one hand lives in us, and on the other hand is sourced in forces so much larger than us. Its potency is precisely in its impersonal quality. It's exactly the paradox of that impersonal quality awakening personally in us that is the heart of both Fuck's peril and power. I'm going to give that sentence again. It's a key sentence. Its potency is precisely in its impersonal quality. It's exactly the paradox of that impersonal quality awakening personally in us that's the heart of both Fuck's peril and power. Right? And as you can see, this little 8,000 word essay, I worked on for 2 weeks, sentence by sentence by sentence, right? Because it changed every word's got to, we got to crack this. And it's never been cracked. No place in culture, any place, anywhere. No one, just not. What does it mean? And it's at the center of culture. Right? And it's the central word in culture. We've got no idea what's going on in it. Right? When words lose their meaning, culture collapses. So this is really an offering into culture. Right? And it's an offering into, so here, new section. We have a drum roll? We have a drum roll. Okay, this is called The Gravitas of Fuck, Beyond the Sexual. New section. Now the conversation turns somewhat more serious. For fuck is serious business indeed. The sexual usage of fuck is the ultimate expression of the sense of fuck, which is about contact and connection. Let me say it again. The sexual usage of fuck is the penultimate expression of that sense of fuck, which is about contact and connection. Also, that makes sense. It's one sense of fuck is about moving towards. So, of course, fuck, right, is a dramatic way of moving towards. So the penultimate expression of fuck, right, that's sexual, right, is about connection. It's in this precise sense that the sexual models the erotic. Or said differently, the small-lettered fuck of the sexual models the larger erotic fuck of reality. Does everyone get that sentence? And it's fucking in small letters, models reality as fuck. Reality as fuck is reality as allurement. Fuck all the way up and all the way down. Right? From quarks to atoms to molecules to cells, to the entire evolutionary process to the stars, attraction, allurement, right? Which is always, always just in the very first moments of the Big Bang. What do we have? We have, right, attraction and repulsion. Repulsion means autonomy. You've got fuck, you've got the lines and circles. Another way we say it, it's lines and circles all the way up and all the way down, right? So this lines and circles sense of all the way up and all the way down, right? That's what we mean when we say sex models the erotic, right? So small fuck models large fuck, right? Does that make sense? Clear? I mean, see, you've been seeing that this is the core of the Dharma. So the small lettered fuck of the sexual models the larger erotic fuck of reality. Right? What we often say is, right, find your fuck. Or feel your fuck, right? We often tell our students, find your fuck, or feel your fuck. By that, we do not mean feel your throbbing phallus or the wetness of your yoni. Rather, we mean feel or find your radical aliveness. Right? Feel your fuck. Find your fuck. Right? Find your purpose. Feel the evolutionary impulse throbbing in you. Feel the ecstatic divine impulse for contact, intimacy, and connection pulsing in you, as you, and through you. To find your fuck, however, is not to be disconnected from reality. Rather, to find your fuck is to let the fuck of reality appear uniquely in you and as you. See that? Right? To find your fuck is not to disconnect from reality. It's rather to let reality as fuck appear uniquely in you. Reality is allurement. Your identity is the unique constellation and quality of your allurements. You get that? Your identity is the unique constellation and quality of your allurements. Distinguishing between your authentic allurement and your pseudo-allurement, and then enacting your allurement in your life is the very purpose of your existence. Of course, that's unique self, right? Reality desperately needs your enacted allurement. Get that sense? Reality desperately needs your enacted allurement. Reality needs you to find your fuck, right? Your purpose is your telos. To find your fuck, to find your telos. Now, big new section, Lady V. To find your fuck, you must first feel your fuck. Okay? to find your fuck, you must first feel your fuck. The feel of your fuck is your eros. It's in the sexual that you can learn to feel your fuck. As we are sexually, so we are in the rest of our lives. It's in this sense that the secret of the cherubs whispers the sexual models the erotic. For the sexual is but an expression of the core drive for contact that animates and drives all of reality. Now that has nothing to do with whether we're having sex now or not. We could have had sex once in our life at 27, but at that penultimate time when it worked for us, it's how we are then. Whether we decide to repeat or to become celibate, it's a completely separate issue. Right? It's got nothing to do with active or inactive. It's but in your best fuck, who are you? That's what it's about. Right? It might have been at 91 or 27, it might have been twice. Right? That's the issue, but that's when you find yourself. For the sexual has been an expression, right? And actually that's an important thing to add in. For the sexual has been an expression of the core drive for contact that animates and drives all of reality. But it's in this very sense, and those of us who've been in the Bellarmine together, that we also speak of the goodness of fuck. Big phrase, right? The goodness of fuck. By the goodness of fuck, we mean the radical goodness of the sexual awake and alive in you as the model of fuck in every dimension of life. Right? That's the goodness of fuck. This is the fifth sexual narrative that we call in the book Return to Eros, Sex Erotic. Now, we have, as we always do, a calculus, an equation. Okay? I didn't do well in calculus in school, so I created a new calculus. Here's the calculus. Love plus fuck equals eros. Okay? Love plus fuck equals eros. Eros is a combination of love and fuck. Love and fuck are not separate. They're different faces of the same experience. If they express the same quality of experience, however, we wouldn't have two words, right? Or no extras in language, right? Love and fuck are not just any two words, by the way. They're probably the two most popular words in existence besides God. Right? It's a big deal. And besides God, probably the two most popular words in existence are love and fuck. Right? Not an accident. Two didn't spill out. Right? It's they, right? They're each expressing a different dimension of the same quality. Right? We have both words because they're not really synonyms of each other. Rather, love plus fuck equals eros. Remember, eros is the experience of radical aliveness moving towards ever closer contact. Love and fuck are two qualities of eros. Love is tender, passionate, right, and even fierce. Fuck is the inexorable, urgent desire ceaselessly driving towards contact. Right? And remember, you can be having a lot of sex and no fuck. Right? Or no sex and a lot of fuck. That's what we mean by find your fuck, feel your fuck. Right? It's when we exile fuck into the small letter fuck that reality collapses. So you can be, right, a celibate, you know, Jesuit and be filled with fuck. Right? And you can be, right, a porn star and have no fuck in you. Right? That's the paradox. I just wrote a little note that said, add Jesuit and porn star. Okay. There you go. Right? So fuck is the inexorable, urgent desire ceaselessly driving towards contact. Love is the passionate longing to embrace. You get the difference? You feel the difference?
I do.
Right, let's say it again. Okay, fuck is the inexorable, urgent desire ceaselessly driving towards contact. Love is the passion longing to embrace. Fuck is the unrelenting urge to merge. You see the difference between them? Right, now, love can be fierce, right? But right, it's the inexorable urgent desire ceaselessly driving towards contact. That's fuck. That's a quality of reality. Right, you get that? That's not me wanting to fuck. Okay? And this is critical, right, in the sense of moving beyond shame. Right? If you get that fuck is a quality of reality, the ceaseless urgent desire driving towards contact, that's not just how Julie feels when she gets up in the morning. Right? Right? It's how reality feels. Right? But if you actually find that appearing in you, you're like, what the fuck? Right? And you feel like you're out of control, Right? Who are you? What are you? Why is this rising me at this time? What's it about? Actually, it's the quality of reality appearing uniquely in you. Right? When I get that, right, then I can move to sex, which is beyond shame. That's the narrative of sex erotic. It's not sex negative. It's not sex sacred because it creates babies. It's not sex neutral. It's not really sex positive. It's sex erotic. Sex erotic is, right, fuck the quality of cosmos awakening in me. Now, here's what happens. When love loses the quality of fuck, then our lives become disconnected in the large stream of life. Everyone get that? When love loses the quality of fuck, then our lives become disconnected from the larger stream of life. Because the larger stream of life is fuck. That's what it is. So if love kind of disembodies from fuck, again, fuck is not sexual. Right? Love becomes pallid. We wonder, secretly shamed, why love doesn't fill us. We suffer from the denial of fuck. Denial of fuck is not a detail. It's an ultimate denial. And therefore the abuse and suffering the denial generates is equally large. Because denial of reality always generates suffering and ultimately abuse. We know that fuck cannot exist without love. It's just like love requires fuck requires love. Right? Love can't exist without fuck. We know that fuck cannot exist without love, and the denial of love also brings monumental suffering. But we've forgotten that love, right, cannot thrive without the feeling of fuck. Right? And whenever people are at a particular stage in their relationship, you've got to ask in the relationship, how in the relationship do we find our fuck? And finding our fuck isn't, right, we want to have more or less sex. And that's what people do. People try and find the fuck in the relationship by having more or less sex. That's actually not the issue. The issue is, where's the fuck in the relationship? Right? Right? And sex is not going to solve it. That's the exile, right, of the erotic fuck to the sexual. Right? So I've got to actually find, right, fuck, as we will see more clearly in the unfolding of the secret of the cherubs. That's what this chapter is still part of the book. Is the core nature of reality all the way up and all the way down the evolutionary ladder. When a fuck awakens in us, it expresses itself as the radical drive for contact and connection. It's not a uniquely human impulse, but rather the impulse of all of reality becoming conscious of itself in us. When we feel our fuck, we feel radically alive and at home in the cosmos. Everyone get that? When we feel our fuck, we feel radically alive and at home in the cosmos. We're filled with an unmistakable eros and telos. We begin to live purpose-driven lives, right, which drip with the nectar of eros itself. We begin to live purpose-driven lives which drip with the nectar of eros itself. Our lives become telerotic. As fuck is our birthright. Our bodies and hearts know that fuck is our birthright. It's not merely an intensifier of the ordinary. Rather, it points to the extraordinary, which is the truest index of our deepest desire. The failure of fuck is the loss of aliveness that Willem Reich correctly diagnosed as the emotional plague of man. It's not the loss of a particular privilege or experience. It's the deadening of all experience. Right? The loss of fuck is not the loss of a particular privilege or experience. It's the deadening, right, of all experience. Right? The disconnection from fuck is cause for the loss of our unmediated knowing that life is good. Right? When we become alienated from fuck, we forget our true identity and lose our dignity. We forget that we are good children of the universe that seeks our transformation. It's in the dignity of fuck that we recognize the glory of our true situation. It's the dignity of fuck that we're personally addressed by reality. It's in the dignity of fuck that we know that we're needed, desired, and chosen, right, by all that is. The exile of fuck. It's for all these reasons that the loss of fuck is more than merely painful. It's intolerable. We can't stand it. The result is a two-stage process of disintegration. And now Dharma gets deeper and deeper now. Right? The first step is the exile of fuck. We exile the great fuck of reality to the sexual. The fuck of the sexual attempts to hook us up to aliveness. You get that? The fuck of the sexual attempts to hook us up to aliveness. But when fuck is limited to the sexual, the hookup doesn't work. And hookup culture collapses. We wind up with some version of the four sexual narratives that we discussed in chapter one. We label sex as positive or negative or neutral, even sacred, because it makes babies. But in all of these narratives, the fuck of sex is disconnected from the larger fuck of the cosmos. Then the second stage of disintegration, the second stage of the downward spiraling process, is the degradation of fuck. And so the first stage is the exile of fuck to the sexual. But the second stage is the degradation of fuck. Fuck becomes a curse word. Right? Go fuck yourself. Expresses the desperate pain of a person caught in the illusion of a flatland universe without fuck. Wow. And you get now why I enter the essay in a kind of funny, light way. Right? Because actually, it's the most serious thing in the world. But without actually establishing a field of meaning and a semantic field, actually, without actually getting these two meanings of fuck before you get to the sexual, then getting to these two meanings of fuck in the sexual, you actually don't understand the index of the human situation. You don't understand why this is the most important word in the Hebrew, in English language. Why is it such a central word? Why does it have both its degradation, right, and its holiness? It's literally inexplicable. You can't even touch it. Right? When you actually start to get, you're like, oh my God, the second stage of the downward spiraling process is not after the exile of fuck, it's the degradation of fuck. Fuck becomes a curse word. Go fuck yourself expresses the desperate pain of a person caught in the illusion of a flat-end universe without a fuck. So our own exile is reflected in the exile of fuck into its degraded expression. You get that sense? Our own exile is expressed in the exile of fuck into its degraded expression. So here it is. So sexual fuck models the larger eros of the cosmos. The small sex, the small fuck of sex, models the larger fuck of reality. Sexual fuck reminds us that reality is allurement, that we are good children of a universe that desires our presence. When this is lost, fuck is first exiled and then degraded. Okay, now it gets even more dramatic. Okay, so each piece of this essay builds. We're not repeating ourselves. We're building. Okay, with us? You okay? Tobe, how you doing? Okay, drifting. Okay, follow each piece, right? You can step it now. Okay? Here's the next step. Right? Bypassing fuck creates abuse. Okay? Bypassing fuck creates abuse. Okay? So the loss of the larger sense of fuck reduces fuck to mere sex. Okay? The loss of the larger sense of fuck reduces fuck to mere sex. This, by its very nature, creates the rupture of contact and severing of connection that fosters the abuse of sex in all of its forms. It's when I've lost my connection with the fuck of reality, I've reduced fuck to mere sex, then I've actually ruptured contact with reality itself. I'm disconnected, I'm separate self, right? That's the matrix for abuse. Sex is abused when it's cut off from the larger context of eros in which it lives, okay? And if for someone, I'm going to say, if for someone, you know, it's like, this is all kind of like, wow, this is like layer upon layer. It's not reading a paper. Just take a break and relax and go to sleep. Right? You know, have dreams of fuck, because that's what we're talking about. Okay? Right? But we're actually, each level kind of builds the next one kind of gentle. But it's a big sentence. If you really get that bypassing fuck creates abuse, you get something unbelievably important, right, about how to actually get to wholeness. Right? When sex is disconnected from the larger fuck, it cannot help but collapse on itself because we're asking too much from it, right? Sex then implodes in every form of addiction and abuse, right? It's only when sex becomes a portal to the unique potency that flows through us from source, sex erotic, that the dignity and delight of fuck is restored. When sex is cut off from our total being, from our deeper wholeness, and we ask it for favors it cannot grant, then fuck becomes a curse word. That's how it happens. Right? And it's like, right? Right? In Hebrew language, there's an elegant aesthetic of language which is called milah v'hipucho, a word and its opposite. So in the original biblical Hebrew, there's an aesthetic of language which is called a word and its opposite. That means that a word contains not really one meaning, a word has a field of meaning. And that field are both the original meaning and the precise opposite of a word's original meaning. The depth of the word's true meaning is revealed by its precise opposite. So one example is the Hebrew two-letter root Chet and Beit, right, which form the words Chova and Chiba, which mean love and obligation. The same word is love and obligation. Obligation, this usage is taken to mean an externally imposed constraint. In this sense, obligation is the opposite of love, because love is an internally motivated devotion that's always free. Right? So an external obligation, right, and an internally motivated devotion that's always free is a word that's opposite. Same word. Okay, in English. And these words are less common, but also appear. They're called contronyms. Okay? For example, the word bolt might mean to hold down or to break away. Right? To sanction, right, means to permit or to prohibit. Right? To cleave means to cling to or to split apart. Right? You've got the same, right, contronyms happening. So similar in English, fuck means radical connection and aliveness. You get it? As well as, right, radical disconnection and alienation. Right, within the same word. Or said differently, the alienated or deadening sense of fuck is a natural result of our disconnection from the aliveness and goodness of fuck. Right? Our disconnection from the aliveness of fuck results from our exiling of the larger eros of fuck that animates all of reality into the constraints of the merely sexual fuck. Sexual fuck comes alive when it begins to model the erotic. That's the narrative of sex erotic. So now watch for a second. Shame, or the next step, shame is the root of all evil. Okay? Now, shame is different than guilt. Okay, shame is not the same as guilt. Guilt's a healthy human emotion, which arises when we've done something bad. Shame, by contrast, is the experience, not that we've done something bad, but that we are bad. Right? Shame is the feeling that we're somehow broken and cannot be fixed. More often than not, shame is rooted in something sexual. Isn't that interesting? More often than not, shame is rooted in something sexual. Because the sexual challenges our very sense of identity. Images of control, artificial dignity, status, appropriateness, and more all need to be surrendered at the altar of the sexual. We all know that. The sexual challenges our conventional sense of self. So to heal shame, okay, we must articulate, right, a new sexual narrative, which we're calling sex erotic or God as fuck. But in sex erotic, which we've been talking about here for 7 years, right, the sexual models the erotic. Meaning it's paradoxically the greater fuck, right, that illuminates and eroticizes the small fuck. That the small fuck models the larger fuck, but it's when the larger fuck descends into the small fuck that it wakes up. Okay? So shame is when fuck stops short of infinity. You get that sense? Shame is when fuck stops short of infinity. Right? That's when we make the legend smug fall. Small. Right? 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 Shame is when pleasure stops short of infinity. Right? You get that? Shame is when pleasure stops short of infinity. But when I'm in infinity, my shame disappears. We heal shame when we realize that the sexual doesn't regress our identity, but it expands and evolves our identity. The sexual is not a regression. It expands and evolves our identity. The sexual, or fuck, as we will show in each of the 12 faces of Eros, offers us a glimpse into who we might be if we realized who we already are.